This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Welcome back to Amplify with Purpose, the podcast where we unlock aligned leadership in business and in life. I'm your host, Odette DeBeer, leadership strategist, business coach, and the author of The Catalytic Code. This is the space to get clear, lead boldly, and build a business that feels like your own. In every episode, we explore questions most leaders are afraid to ask, but need to, because when you lead with purpose and deliver with consistency, you don't just succeed. You create the kind of impact that outlasts you. Today on Amplify with Purpose, I'm taking you inside a conversation that began at one of our most recent Sustain Her events right here in South Australia. One of the things I love most about our Sustain Her gatherings is that they create a space where women's voices can be heard, where we can learn from each other, spark new ideas, and be reminded that creativity is at the heart of how we build and grow. In this episode, you'll hear from Amy Taylor, founder of Space Style Homes. Amy's journey from corporate life to creating her own staging and styling business is filled with lessons of courage, refinement, and the power of bringing beauty into everyday spaces. What I love about Amy's story is that it's not just about design. It's about resilience, relationships, and finding a business model that reflects both her passion and her values. And there's something really profound in how it all began for Amy. Amy spoke it out before she even knew how she was going to do it. She declared, "I'm starting a property staging business," and those words set things in motion. It's a reminder that life and death are in the power of your tongue, and we eat the fruit of what we say. Words matter, and they can create the future for you to step in. So let's dive in. Amy, do you want to maybe start off with just introducing yourself and telling us what sparked the creation of Space Style Homes?
Sure. So I have a background in interior design and textile design, but that was on hold for a number of years. I was fortunate enough to be working with a company in the Adelaide Hills for the pre-sale preparation of homes. So we'd coordinate, project manage, and get all the trades in. Sometimes we'd do a full bathroom and kitchen renovation. It was amazing, but pretty intense and pretty stressful. So I started going back to my interior design days and passion, and having sold a number of my own homes and presented my number of my own homes, I really just thought, that's where I want to be. I want to be at the next stage from what they're doing and do the final touches and bring that lovely last flourish to present a home to its best. So that's what started it. I got to the stage where I went, okay, this is not working. I chatted to my manager, because what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to start a property staging business. And I suddenly went, I've got to follow through. So I made sure I put it out there. I told friends what I was going to do. I just put it out there and made it happen. And it started off small. It's still building, but yeah, it's getting some traction.
You mentioned in your hashtag revenue optimization or sales. Yep. So you've got the business acumen, and then you've got this beautiful design thing. How do those two things come together to shape how you run your business?
I go into homes, I can see they've got so much more potential. Sometimes people have just put up with things or not financially had time to do everything. And I really just want to make sure that they're selling their home in the most optimized way it can be. So from that, I'm really just going in and making sure that's what happens. I want them to get the best results. I know it's a huge thing putting yourself out there as a seller, selling your home. It's sometimes emotional, definitely financial, and I just want to make sure that they've got their best opportunity to get the best sale price ultimately. And if that's what I can do and deliver through my business, then yeah, I'm thrilled for them. So
if we had to go back to your very first home you staged,
yes,
what did you learn?
It was a lovely home in Bridgewater. I started off doing pre-sale consults for some of the real estate agents. Went in there as a pre-sale consult, and before I knew it, she was going, oh, I really need some help with set up the home. I said, yeah, the next thing I was quoting on a job. It was fabulous and really exciting, but I did not have much staging stock. I ordered some pieces and some beautiful big artworks, but they were very bespoke, tailored to that house. Mm. The staging jobs that happened beyond that, I suddenly realised that I couldn't actually use a lot of those artworks. So that taught me really that I've got to be very clever about the pieces I get into my stock. It has to go across a number of styles and different styles of home. I find every job I work on is different. I'm refining my skills or refining the way I do things and approach my time on site.
So what I'm hearing, standardisation is important even in design.
You've got to have processes and procedures.
You just got me very excited. Yay! It's not just for people like me.
Yeah, on two of you were saying that there is an emotional impact to organisation and to styling. Do you want to talk to us about what that means in practice?
When you're going into a home, what I see as styling is often home buyers that go in, a lot of them don't know what to do to a space or can't see a space. Styling, it takes away all that noise and clutter and allows them to picture themselves in there. They can actually see their lifestyle in the home rather than picturing the person that's currently occupying the home. It builds that level of excitement. It gets a little bit more emotional attachment over a home.
And for uneducated people like me, who want to create a beautiful home, what are some of the common misconceptions and mistakes?
I think decluttering is a huge one with presenting a home. Spaces have to still be personal. There's no good that comes out of cookie cutter or just going to one store and buying everything. It takes time to evolve a look and feel that reflects you, and I think your home should reflect it. But it's also nice to have a bit of a common thread throughout the home. It's either got like a tonal thread that goes through from each room, or it might have a theme with the artworks that you can bring it through. I think it's just making sure that you spend that little bit of money on putting some new bed linen or making a space. And it doesn't have to be a whole house that you do. Just start with one room that is special to you, that can be a little oasis. So if it's going to your bedroom, put some investment into some nice bed linen, some beautiful layering of cushions and throw rugs, nice big impact artworks.
What would you suggest a homeowner with a limited budget do? Where should they focus, and what do you think makes the biggest impact in a home? Especially if you're starting out with me, for example. I have 40 odd years of things.
Stuff.
Because I like that, and yes. I like that, and yes. I like that, but none of it looks good.
I think we accumulate so many things through our life, and especially if you've been in a home for a long time and haven't had those opportunities to declutter through. Sometimes it's inherited from somewhere, sometimes it's kids' things they've grown out of. How does it make you feel when you see that piece of furniture in your house? Fixing broken things. So many times I go into homes getting ready for sale and they've got such a big chore because they've left so many things just broken for too long. Get into them early. Why not do it for yourself?
What do you think are three of the easiest things we can do that'll immediately elevate the home? You've mentioned declutter, and I feel like that's probably top of the list.
Get some new cushions. Do it for yourself. Get some lovely big artworks. Make a huge difference in a space. Layered lighting. Fix all your lighting so you've got the functional overhead lighting during the day, and then you can get the lovely softer lamps and everything at night. You can still make that space functional, but it's not just this bright sort of light. Another trick I use is bed linen. You always upsize a bed linen. So if you've got a queen size bed, get king size bed linen. It just creates, it fits the bed better these days.
So how do we balance the wow, picking the things like woo, and making it functional? I would love to have those homes on Styling New York.
But realistically, I can't. It just doesn't make sense. So how do you find that balance? What does that look like?
Well, I approach my home and how I approach staged homes are very different. When I'm talking about staged homes, I never want to rip the soul out of a home. What the owners have brought to that home is amazing, and I never want to disregard that. I always find ways of bringing, even if I'm doing full styling, some of them into the home. I don't have a package that I take from one home to another. I very much tie into what the home needs and what enhances the home. I find little unique pieces. It's not just going to one supplier. I'll go to vintage stores and find little bespoke pieces. I think it's got to have some reflection and feel homely and warm without, I never create sort of sterile spaces in any of my stage homes. And I think when you have a lived home, you're never going to have a sterile home. Let's be realistic. Storage is an amazing thing. If you can have storage in your home, that allows you to have some organisation and put the chaos away, but just have still a beautiful home. But it's still got to be a functional home. Like when it's actually a home, it's very different than a show home. So I think never feeling it's got to be perfect when it's your home.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah. When you've got kids.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing. Do you have horror stories?
I find that was a horror story that turned into a hero story.
Yes.
Those are the ones we love.
Yeah. There's one actually that I styled fairly recently, and it was a family member that had gone into care. It was a family home. I had to go, and I was dealing with all the siblings, very differing opinions, and you have to be very empathetic, which is what I bring anyway. I actually love getting to know the families and hearing about the history of the home and their parents, because it's a very emotional thing they're going through. I walked into the home and thought, oh, I don't think I could. So when I first saw it, it had tobacco stained walls and ceilings. She'd had moments where she thought, oh, I'm going to add a pink wall here and a red wall here. And then they'd made the decision to not replace the carpet. They ripped it up and it was just raw floorboards. So you still had all the nails and there was just stuff everywhere that the family members are having to go through. I said yes. We got fresh paint in and it lifts it all up. That made a huge difference. Then I brought my styling in and it was a little retro home. And so I made sure there was little leadings of it, which was quite fun to do from a styling point of view. It really spoke with the home. When I first walked in, I thought it was on a great block. I thought this is fantastic, but someone's going to knock it down, which is really sad. I felt for the family, but I thought I'm still here to do the right thing. It went crazy. The first weekend, they had 65 groups through.
Wow.
Then they had another open during the week that was 25 groups through. And after those first two opens, there was 11 offers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I said to the agent, tentatively, is someone going to knock it? And he goes, no, the people that want to renovate love it. So I'm okay, great. They love what you've done and everything like this. And so now, and it ends up going, I think, 150 or more over the range.
Wow.
That was given. That was a really amazing one. Now the agent's using it as a before and after example. Why styling matters.
You started your business in 2020 and you have been able to make an impact clearly in the community, in the things that you do, and your business is growing. How did you do that?
I was very fortunate when I made this decision to launch this business that I had a few friends working in real estate. So they were amazing supporters at the beginning and a really good way to get my groove in the whole property styling thing. Since then, I've been very selective with the agents I take on. At this stage of the game, I'm really lovely that have similar values to the way I want to approach my business. And so fortunate I've actually been able to make some really great connections that have that. I just take the time with the connections I make, whether it's with the real estate agents or the clients, to get to know them. I want to know it's more than just a transaction business for me. I really love the relationship side of building. I think it's just coming in with that empathy. There's been other agents that have commented that I've just gone and the clients go, oh, she's so lovely. Oh, she got me or she got the house. I think just taking that time has made a huge difference to my business, and it has been luckily a word of mouth thing predominantly. As a business owner, we all know that we wear multiple hats.
Yes, we all need to make money, but we have an impact. For you, it's getting to know the people so you can display their home, their personality, their essence in their home so they can sell it or make it livable again.
I feel good about the sale process. It's really physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, sometimes financially exhausting. And I want them to feel really good about it. I want to take away a bit of the burden of that process by coming in. I feel I'm a little bit more of a support person than just the stylist.
That's beautiful. Obviously, no businesses without challenges. What are some of the challenges that you've had to navigate, and how did you navigate them?
Being a small operation has been hard. I try not to compare myself with other stylists, but knowing the competition is out there, and some of the larger companies that do the staging, that have the multiple team members and the removalists, it is sometimes hard to compete with. I'm actually quite honest with agents, and sometimes it's the personal touches that you do that will make more of a difference. So don't apologise for that.
Mm.
But it's, yeah, and I guess for me as a business owner, just I'm get worn down. Because I did this install yesterday. I think I'm still exhausted from it because it's a very physical task. And yeah, I think it's just getting to do everything myself it's a learning curve, and how to make it sustainable so I actually still keep that spark and joy in what I'm doing. The other thing has been more logistics. I'm very fortunate at the moment, the model I'm working on, I have an amazing supplier. They come with and place everything and work with me where I want to place everything. So that's with all the large furniture. I'm building up my collection of small furniture, accessories, bed linen, all that sort of stuff comes with me. But I'm growing my operation, and my space is now too small. So I'm having to look for external spaces, and I'm looking at upgrading, getting a van and things like that. So it's all just bigger steps and more outlay, but it's good, it's exciting, but it's getting to a point that I need it to happen. I think they're the main things, really. I mean, it'll keep growing, and I'll get a more trusted team. Eventually, I'm very aware I want to keep it sustainable, grow beyond what I'm capable of. I'll just do it at a stage that, yeah, that is possible. The other thing was just financial. It's been a process, and with property staging, it's a huge outlay to get all your stock. I was a little bit blind going in. So the first good 12 months was all about outlay. So any income that was coming was outlaying straight onto stock. That's probably over the last 6 months or so that I've started to get a lot more structured with the profit side and making sure I'm actually paying myself. Yeah, so it's all just that building stage and learning along the way.
Beautiful. What trends do you see in the home styling space, especially specific to the Hills environment? I think the Hills, it's just different. I feel like it's a different world.
That's why I'm enjoying specialising in the Adelaide Hills. So far, I've had a few jobs down the hill. That's been fun, but it is. There's a lovely warmth to Adelaide homes. We've got gorgeous materials and architecture in Adelaide, but I just enjoy what the Adelaide Hills offer. There's been, for so long, this sort of almost neutral laid upon neutral. Now we're getting into a bit more richer tones. We're getting a little bit more playful with colour. There's beautiful, rich greens coming in. Even burgundies are back, and walnut tones. So I think it's about being able to be a bit more playful with colour now and not so neutral. But as a homeowner, or if you're investing in pieces, I would never suggest investing in big pieces. Like, so anything, or whether it's a bed suite or whether it's a sofa setting, still keep those neutral, because trends are going to change and things like that. But what you can do is bring an accent chair that's in the fabulous new colour, or some of the elements, cushions, artworks, that can change and aren't going to be as big an investment. And that's how you can layer those fun elements of the colours that are coming in without outlaying a huge amount with the investment side. And get a bit more playful and find colours that connect with you. Don't feel like, oh, that's the colour, so I've got to do it. Make sure it resonates with you still. So.
What would you tell your younger self?
I wish I'd been braver earlier. I keep on looking back and seeing missed opportunities where I could have done this earlier. I probably would have been younger and fitter. But I think also the maturity I bring now has also shaped the way I approach my business. So I would definitely just say, go for it, be brave, give it a go. And
it's beautiful. Over to you. I've asked all my questions.
What do you do with the furniture that you don't use from the homeowners? Where does that go into storage?
Yeah, sometimes, and this is a conversation we have at the start, depending on where they're going to, what their situation is. If they're moving a new home, I have that conversation to say, are these pieces that you're going to want in your new home? So it's a chance for them to actually get rid of some stuff and save money. There are boxes you can bring on site and they've been fantastic. A lot of the time they just store stuff. They're not actually emotionally ready to let go of things, or they're not quite sure. So yeah, those storage boxes are fantastic. You get those on site, and on a bigger rural property, they can chuck them in a shed and they can keep them on site. Otherwise they can go.
But you don't take on that risk of taking their things?
No. I guess there's probably a market for it. Yeah. And I have to guide them through that. I'm very careful how I do it. We have a chat about it. And I explain why certain pieces will work and certain pieces don't. And sometimes the case of just being able to open up a space and clear it out. So it's just having those conversations so it doesn't seem so scary for them. So they can understand the reasoning behind why I've done certain things with the styling.
You ever have an issue where the client said, this stays in no matter what you say?
Most times we do get around it, but there are times. So we just had to be strategic. I try and find a way to work with them. One of the huge things I'm making sure the agents I align with is that they're advocates for property styling, talking about the importance of it. But in return, it's a win-win situation because I make their job easier selling the home. Yes. The value it's adding to a home is actually significant.
My parents just sold their house a few months ago. Oh. I recommended to my parents that they should get a stylist as well. So they did.
Yeah.
I'm very glad because the way they turned out the photos and everything, it just was so much more sellable. I think they probably got a better price as well.
What an inspiring conversation with Amy. There are a few takeaways that every business owner, no matter your industry, can put into practice. The first and probably for me the most important one was speak it out. Amy's journey began when she declared her business into existence. Words matter. Your tongue has power and you'll eat the fruit of what you say. Start before you feel ready. Courage is often about committing before you have the full plan. Refine as you go. Every project was a learning curve that helped her standardize, streamline, and build sustainability. Relationships matter. Word of mouth and value-aligned partnerships became the foundation of her growth. Balance purpose with profitability. Amy reminded us that it is possible to combine creative passion with a solid business acumen. Invest in what matters. Whether it's furniture in a home or systems in your business, choose what adds value across context. The beauty of Amy's journey is that it's a reminder that success isn't just perfection. It's about starting, adapting, and building in a way that's true to who you are. Before we wrap up, let me leave you with a few simple ways you can apply Amy's insights to your own business or even your home today. First, speak it out. Declare the thing you've been holding back on. Put words on your vision. It's the first step to making it real. Next, declutter one space, whether it's your desk, a room, or even your inbox. Remove the noise so that you can see the potential more clearly. Refine one process. Look at a part of your business that feels messy and ask, how can I make this repeatable and sustainable? And last but not least, reach out to one person. Relationships are the currency of growth. Send a message, make a call, or schedule a coffee with someone aligned. Small intentional steps compound into big shifts. Thank you for tuning in to Amplify with Purpose. I hope this conversation sparked something fresh for you, an idea, a shift in perspective, or even just the courage to take that next step. If you loved this episode, make sure you hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss what's coming next. And if you know another leader or business owner who would be encouraged by this conversation, please share it with them. You never know the ripple effect your share might create. And if you're ready to go deeper, come and join us inside Sustain Her or connect with me at Amplify Business Coaching. This is where clarity turns into action and action turns into impact. Until next time, lead boldly, stay aligned, and keep amplifying with purpose.